I don't think Arlindy needs me to say anything. Everybody already dearly loves her. Arlindy is one of the most wonderful people I think that any one of us could ever encounter. I believe every one of you here will agree with me. If you haven't got acquainted with her, you will dearly love her before her talk is over this evening. She's a prize package sent from God, and it's Arlindy.
Ruthie, if I could just play the piano, I could have done it all the time. Today's my birthday. Some of you knew that already. Quite a few of you understand. I get to talk about anything I want to on my birthday. I want to talk about myself. But I want you to help me. I brought this book in, The Playful Way to Knowing Yourself, a creative workbook to inspire self-discovery. And the first exercise in the book is choose 7 words that describe yourself. So I want you to shout out 7 words that describe me.
Awesome.
Wait, I gotta write this down. Lisa said awesome, brilliant,
wild,
kind.
I'm not a know that.
Sweet or Swede?
Sweet. I'm Swedish.
Funny.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Authentic.
Good one.
And original. Modern.
Thank you, Dennis.
Modern.
That's 9, but we can stop there.
Spiritual. Out of the box. That's 3 words.
Okay, and thank you for your contribution. I'll see if I can work some of these in. I'll start by saying how modest I am to talk about myself on my birthday. For those of you who don't know, I'm 60 today. So the title of my talk is actually From 0 to 60. Wait, yes, that's 1.
Okay.
Check that off.
Original.
Original.
Yeah.
Got it.
And modest.
And I use modest also, didn't I? Okay.
Yeah.
You'll be done in 5 minutes.
That's only 9 words. I have to, you know, put something around them. I wanted to talk about what I was born to be.
Wild.
Well, that goes without saying. But what's really ironic is our interesting coexistence and juxtaposition of space. Kate gave me this birthday card that says, it's your birthday, you're born to be wild, born to be outrageous, born to live your life out loud, born to be courageous, and more. But I want to use that born to be theme throughout my talk. And to kind of break it down by decades, and hopefully when I share with you what I've learned through my life, I can also give you a little insight into your own life. Because I'm not just here to brag on myself or to make myself feel good, although those are certainly opportunities. I just checked off wild because I read it on the card. I was born in Coalinga, California. How many of you, show of hands, how many of you have ever heard of Coalinga, California, or have a vague idea where it might be? Kelsey, no. You're from the Kettleman Hills yourself? What are you trying to say there?
No. I just
I worked there.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. My mom and I were born in the same town. I'm a fourth generation native Californian. Kalinga is due west of Fresno, approximately halfway between Fresno and the coast, in the virtual center of nowhere. It's currently a town of about 12,000 to 15,000, if that. Had a few more back in the 40s when I was born because of the oil wells and oil fields around it. My dad was a construction foreman for Standard Oil of California, since renamed Chevron. But I was born to wonder and to learn. I was immediately enchanted with school the first time I went there. By then we'd moved to the B word, Bakersfield. So I did all of my schooling, elementary and high school, in Bakersfield. And I loved school. I was good at it. Have you ever noticed how we love the things we're good at and we're good at the things we love? It's like the chicken and the egg. We don't know which came first, but it always works both ways. We love the things we're good at and we're good at the things we love. In the fourth grade, I learned to play the marimbas. And I learned to sing El Rancho Grande, you know, Allá en el Rancho Grande, Allá donde vivía. And 50 years later, I can still remember most of the words. I was gifted with a good memory. Unfortunately, 50 years later, I remember that it used to be 50 years, over the first 50 years of my life, I remember people who didn't know me. Now, people remember me that I don't know. I guess that's a good thing. I hope they remember me for the right reasons. But I learned to love learning, and I have never lost that love of learning. One thing I did not learn in spite of my mother's best attempts was how to cook. Just threw that in. More later. My second decade, from the time I was 10 till the time I was 20, I was born to wander and to roam. And this started when I was 13. My mom and dad, when I was 12, my mom and dad and my brother and my sister and I had gone up to Washington State to visit my aunts and uncles in northeastern Washington, north of Spokane. Then when I was 13, my mom and dad put my brother and myself on a Greyhound bus and sent us to Washington State. This was a clever strategy for all concerned. They got rid of the kids and we got rid of the parents, you know, it worked really well both ways. But I discovered I love traveling. I had an opportunity on my uncle's farm to cook lunch for four hungry farmhands. I still couldn't cook. I think I baked some potatoes, which was very strange, and then gave them sandwiches for lunch, you know, peanut butter and jelly. It was the worst meal of the summer, by far. I returned the cooking controls to my aunt, grateful that I only had to do it one day when she was at a meeting. This decade of my life I call from California to New Zealand, because when I was 17, I was selected as an exchange student from my high school and went to New Zealand for 8 months. Now, it wasn't that I was brilliant. So much as that I was authentic. That got me selected for this experience, because it was a competition, basically, to become the exchange student. And all of my classmates in high school, we were juniors at the time, wanted to go somewhere with the American Field Service, anywhere, become an exchange student, spend a year or a summer abroad. You have to be crazy not to want to, right? So everybody applied. The first most memorable experience was the interview process. 8 interviewing teachers, faculty, and community people, and 1 poor measly high school student in a locked room. There was a straight chair, and there was an armchair, and then they were all sitting around. And I waltzed in, thought nothing of it, and sank down into the armchair, made myself comfortable to answer questions like, what would you do if you had to eat ox blood soup? I'd eat it, you know? Well, what would you do if they only changed the sheets once a month? Today, I think back on that question, I think I'd be grateful. Huh? find out after I was chosen that I was the only one of the students who sat in the armchair. The other 8 or 12 of them had chosen the straight chair. I wasn't intimidated by the 8 faculty and community members, nor was I intimidated by the leader of the opposition, the political parties in New Zealand when I got an opportunity to share a dinner with him. I wasn't what you'd call brave, but I wasn't what you'd call a coward either. I was born to be outrageous and born to be courageous, it says right here. But I learned to love to travel, and I since have traveled extensively in North America. I guess if I had to say that I regretted something I haven't done, one of the things that I regret would be that I haven't traveled more extensively out of North America. But there's so much to see in our own country and in Canada and in Mexico that there's just not time to do it all. And last year I completed my 50-state project, whereby I set foot in each of the 50 states, some more than others, some as many, well, California, of course, I've lived here for 150 years. But Georgia, I would have to say, would be the least amount of visiting that I've done there. I just crossed a corner of the state, about 2 feet worth of the corner. But I did set foot in it. But traveling allows us the opportunity to develop who we really are away from our normal modus operandi. If we want to be different than we are, going somewhere else to do it is a wonderful way. It's kind of like the chicken, the San Diego chicken, who says, if you can't take the heat, stay out of the chicken. You know, but when you put on a costume like that, you can be outrageous, you can be bold, you can be absolutely crazy, you can be wild. Oh wait, I already checked that one off. Because you're not with people who have certain expectations about you and who see you a certain way and who expect you to behave a certain way. So you can behave differently. You can be better. You can be more of yourself or not, I suppose. And there have been trips I've taken where not was certainly in vogue. But let's talk about my third decade. My third decade, I was 20, going on 4. And I was born to party. First time I got drunk was 2 weeks before my 21st birthday. At college. And on my 30th birthday, we went to a restaurant called Debauchery. So for this decade, I've chosen the From Davis to Debauchery theme because I went to Davis and that's where I got drunk. Now, I must say that I did learn a little bit about cooking while at Davis. We stole cherries from the radioactive cherry orchard. We wanted to make a pie. So we put the cherries, piss and all, into the pressure cooker. And then we sat back and watched it explode. We didn't want it to explode. We didn't expect it to explode. But thank goodness we stepped back to watch it. And we were cleaning cherries and bullet holes off the ceiling. We never did get a pie, but I learned not to use a pressure cooker while cooking. I took a job in St. Louis out of college, and I became a computer person. The recruiter was actually an Army recruiter. He was recruiting for civil service, but I didn't know that. It didn't make any difference to me. He was an Army recruiter. He said, how'd you like to go to St. Louis? And I said, you betcha. Oh, by the way, what would I be doing there? I was ready to get away from home, from California, from my life, and so I did. And I had some wonderful experiences in St. Louis, many of which revolved around Anheuser-Busch. And after 4 years there, I retired. I, when you go from 0 to 60 financially, when you first get out of college and you have no money and then you make a reasonable salary, you can save a lot very quickly. So I saved all my money for 4 years and quit my job, bought a Dodge van and traveled around the country. 25 states, 5 provinces of Canada, and 27,000 miles in 18 months.
Wow.
And it was great. It fed that need that I developed in my second decade to wander and to roam. I achieved one more regret of not having done something while I was in St. Louis, though. My girlfriends, 7 of them, we were a party of 8 most of the time, 7 of them went to Mardi Gras 1 year while we were in St. Louis. And I chose not to go because it would have cost too much money. As a result, I've never been to Mardi Gras. I've never been to New Orleans. And while it's not too late to go, it certainly will never be the same as it was before Katrina. But moving right along, my fourth decade, from age 30 to age 40, I was born to learn how to love. Born to love. And I had a revelation about this just Sunday. I was listening to Connie Ferris, and something struck me that I had a cat named Gardenia. And I realized for the first time how close Gardenia is to Guardian. And I had Gardenia for the entire decade from 1975 to 1988. It's more than a decade, I know, but I'm only talking about 76 to 86. And she was truly my best friend, my guardian. And she taught me more about unconditional love than anybody I've ever known, with the possible exception of Millie. And I went to my first personal development workshop, and for the first time in my life, I fell in love with myself. Which, if you haven't done it yet, try to make it happen. It's really cool. And in a way, I guess I'd have to say that for the first time in that decade, I said I love you of my own volition to somebody outside of my family. I don't remember who it was, but I know I had several experiences of realizing what the feeling of love is and how it works, and that I was willing to share it, and that I was willing to express it. I didn't mention that my dad was a Swede and an engineer, which is the double whammy of not being willing to feel it or express it, and I'm my father's daughter. So although it took me 30 plus years, I finally realized that I can love, I know how to do it, and I'm pretty good at it. When I want to be, which isn't always. I don't love my job. One of the personal development workshops I went to was called The Pursuit of Excellence. And I know this on here I wrote The Pursuit of Happiness, but it was really The Pursuit of Excellence. And the exercise that stuck with me from The Pursuit of Excellence was everybody got to write their definition of success. What success is to me. And I chose making a difference, having adventure in my life, having trust, being trusting, loving relationships, financial stability, and romance. Well, that's, I guess, only in the novel form. But better than none, huh? As in the form of romance novels. I was hoping for something more. Anyway, that was a very transformative decade for me, and it led into the next decade, which was a decade of growth and change. I realized I was born to grow and change. First thing that happened that was major is I got laid off. I'd worked for the same company for over 20 years, and in the aerospace downsizing of the early 90s, bye-bye. One of the best things that ever happened to me and one of the most traumatic. I did not realize how much my job defined who I was until I didn't have a job to define who I was. I'd gone through this previous decade of learning to love myself, and suddenly I wasn't worth loving anymore, or so it seemed at the time. But I went to every movie of the year in 1995 because I was unemployed and had money. I spent my 401k. That's what it's for, right? A rainy day. I was out of work for, well, out of real job for 3.5 years. But I temped for about 2 of those years and had some fabulous experiences while temping. Learned that I could do almost anything in an office if you put me to it. and learned that I didn't like working 75-hour weeks. Also in that decade, I met Millie, which was transformative in and of itself, and started coming to this established church on Wednesday nights. And boy, if you haven't learned to grow and change by going to spiritual awareness classes, then you must not have been paying attention. Because that's about growth and change. I will say that I can't turn the page, I have all those words on there. My spiritual development started at a young age when my mom took me to church every week. And I've always had a very close connection to God, but it has been intensified through my connection with the angels and with Millie and with this church. Only four to go. And I can't see the clock anyway, so I don't need to worry about how long I'm talking. In the fifth decade, that was the fifth decade. In the sixth decade, from the time I turned 50 until now, it seems like there are two W4-letter words that apply. I was born to work, and I was born to be wild. And of the two, I far prefer the being wild. I continued my traveling over the last decade. I've been to Santa Fe, Yellowstone, Alaska, North and South Dakota, and Minnesota, completing the 50-state project, as I alluded to earlier. But I've been asked to work 60, 70, 80, even 90-hour weeks over the last 10 years. And I'm not crazy about that, I'll have to say. But I'm good at it. I'm good at getting the job done because I'm dedicated or stupid. They're synonymous. And I think the learning to be wild was the key feature of this decade, though. When I came out of the closet as a wild woman, it was right on this stage. Many of you were here that night. I was dressed in orange, and I had a T-shirt on underneath that said, Born to be Wild. And it was actually the true expression of the me that had been at the talent show a few weeks before that, where Charlotte and Andrea's mother and I lip-synced Born to be Wild, and we were. I had orange hair. I had spikes and studs and tattoos, and we were outrageous and outrageously funny. And it felt real. It felt authentic. It felt like the true inner me finally, at last, expressed in public. And that's what all that traveling had led up to, I guess, was that I could be wild. And come to find out I could do it in my own home with my own peeps. How about that? Boy, that wasn't on there, but it sure should have been. So here we are today. I've traveled all over this country and Canada. I've learned a lot. Oh, I forgot to mention, I even learned how to cook.
Yay.
Back in my fourth and fifth decade, I was invited to be the chef for week-long workshops in music imagery up in Idlewild. And like a fool, I said yes. But I found out that I can cook, and I actually enjoyed doing it. But once I did it, I proved I could, and therefore I don't have to do it again. And it was really a challenge because much of it was vegetarian cooking. And I did it four times altogether, so 4 weeks of cooking for three meals a day for 10 people. If that doesn't prove you can cook, nothing will. But my favorite moment of that was when we had a questionnaire that said, do you have any special dietary needs? And one woman wrote, yes, I need to have animal protein every day. And I went, cha-ching, you know. Just quadrupled my recipe book. So that was fun. So here we are. The beginning of my seventh decade. God, doesn't that sound awful? But I'm thankful to be here. And I meant to bring a card that I bought for myself a couple of years ago, and I totally forgot about it, so I didn't even remember to bring it. But it said something to the effect of, and there's a country song by Lone Star, I think, about mountains, and that we were born to climb. God gives us mountains because we're born to climb. And there are a few obstacles in our path, certainly obstacles in mine, but this next chapter of my life is called From Here to Eternity. I forgot to mention that one of these, oh, the love chapter was From Zero to Infinity. So, I think, now I'm going to give you the real talk, okay, wait. This is the point, we got to the bottom line. Kind, sweet, and funny. Well, funny kind of speaks for itself, I either am or I'm not. Made you laugh.
Yeah.
I think all of us aspire to being kind and sweet. And the real talk, as promised. When I was young, I had a postcard by Ashley Brilliant that said, I have a purpose. My purpose is to find a purpose. And I had a postcard that was a Peanuts character, Charlie Brown, saying, there's no greater burden than a great potential. And I believe that we all have a purpose in our lives, and we're all damaged by the expectations that we place upon ourselves because of being labeled with great potential, and that our purpose really is to find our purpose. I have had an opportunity in my life to learn to tell a personal myth, that, you know, what's the mythology that supports my worldview. And it kind of goes like this. I've not had an opportunity to... Well, you didn't want any messages anyway, did you?
No.
It's my birthday. Anyway, that I came from another planet, and I was directed by the elders of the other planet when I volunteered for this mission to go to Earth and teach people how to love. So I was born into the human body on Earth, and like the rules for being human, you know, you'll forget all this. So I forgot everything about what I was supposed to be here to do. And it's taken me 6 decades to figure it out, to remember why I came here. And I believe that this mythology is very much in alignment with what Millie calls our life's work, which is just to image God. That we're all here to image God, to teach other people about love, and to learn about love ourselves. And the more we learn, the more we can teach, and the more we can experience, and the more we can love. And that is so awesome if we can do it. That is our purpose. It's very simple. It's why we're here. It's what I hope to accomplish in my next 6 decades, or however long God gives me. Because it's all very well and good to learn and grow and wander and wonder and love even. And it's not enough. It's even okay to party, by the way. But it's not enough if we don't give back, if we don't do what we promised God we would do. And that is to be love. And how we choose, whatever path we choose, doesn't matter. It's an individual thing. This is just my path. It's been a lot of fun along the way, and I thank you for sharing it with me tonight. And you are all awesome.
After all, she's only passed a few decades, so she has to start. Little Susie told me that I'm not supposed to walk up and down steps like other people, I'm supposed to step one step, then I bring first bring my other foot up there, then I step another step, and I'm supposed to bring that foot up there. She demonstrated for me.
Then you may have to start that pretty soon, honey. You're getting up there.
You may be the cause of me getting old. You're probably pushing me ahead. Well, thank you, honey, for all those wonderful thoughts.